أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite a salawat. We were talking about how to be able to, inshallah, avoid sin. Abstaining from sin is a very important topic, a very important concept, a very important goal for us to have in life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping us out in the month of Ramadan. He has said that this month, the fasting of this month, is supposed to be helping us. That by the end of the month, we should be more able and capable of avoiding sin. We said that according to the saying of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Salamullah alayhi, we need some form of motivation to be able to avoid sin. Some people look for punishments, some people are looking for rewards, and some people do so, avoid sin, they abstain from sin by or through their knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that's worthy of worship, worthy of listening to, worthy of obedience, and therefore whatever He says, whatever obligation He puts on us, we've got to perform, and whatever He forbids us from, we've got to avoid. So we started to discuss some of the sins. We started on ghina and lahw, haram music, haram singing and listening to that. This is one of the very great sins that we have that affects our spiritual life. It affects the way we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It affects how we practice. It affects all dimensions of our faith. And out here, obviously, it's one of those things that the shayateen, one should say, has made part of society. Wherever you go, there's always music somewhere in the background. There is a reason for that. The more a society more moves towards shaitan, the more shaitan helps them in developing themselves, and shaitan becomes part of that society. It's actually interesting to find one of the ahadith in regards to ghina and singing, lahw, music, that says if one listens to haram music, listens to lahw, listens to ghina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put a shaitan beside him that's going to be with him constantly. A partner that he will have, he or she will have, constantly and at all times. When a society takes that concept in and makes that and wants to practice this sin of singing in the haram form and listening to music, playing music, making music that is haram, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts this shaitan with them at all times. Now, we mentioned that in order to understand what music is haram and which music is not, the verses, the ahadith basically, that give us reference to the verses regarding music, is something that can help us also understand the wisdom behind it. Because the imams have been asked a number of times, sometimes about this verse, and sometimes they've been asked about music and singing. The response has been that the music that is haram, the music that used to be played at that time, during the time of the Ahlul Bayt, music was, for the most part, if not all of it, was haram forms of music. So they would ask about music in general, about lahw, the word lahw would be used. But then, the reference that they would make was to the verse of the Holy Qur'an, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُضِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. There are people who make lahw in order to deviate from the right path, in order to deviate from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Ahlul Bayt have said the effect of the music which is haram, which makes it haram, and is the reason for why it's haram, is this. It moves you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If one's ears are used to listening to music, haram music, then the spiritual effects that are supposed to be there in listening to the Holy Qur'an, listening to the advice of the Holy Qur'an, to the advice of the Ahlul Bayt, that wants you or causes you to stay away from sin, that is not going to be something that's pleasant. There's a difference. If we've gotten used to listening to it, we can't tell the difference. I don't know if I mentioned this last year or not when I was here, but even if I have, I think it's a good reminder. Usually what happens is that when we're used to sins, when we're used to something, right, we don't see the effects of it. We don't feel the effects of it. We've got to compare that to when we don't have it. Generally speaking, even about blessings, that's how it is. Usually when we have blessings as well, it's difficult for us to know how great of a blessing the blessing that we've been given is. When we don't have it, when we stop having it, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprives us of that blessing, then we start realizing how great of a blessing it was. With the effects of music, haram music, it is the same. If we're constantly listening to it, when they say, oh, it has this negative impact on your soul, I'm like, what negative impact? I can't really feel anything. When they explain the ruling, they say the ruling, because when you read about the ruling of music, all right, it's very, in a way, ambiguous. There's a lot of gray area. They say it's music that's associated with haram gatherings. It's music that when you hear it, you feel that it moves you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're supposed to feel that. It moves you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead, it puts you in the wrong mood. It makes you think of sins. It makes you be more vulnerable to sins. A lot of people say, well, what if you listen to it and I don't feel any different? There's, I don't know, different forms of music. I listen to it, I don't feel it has an effect on the soul. Let me explain right here. It's not a subjective thing in the sense that you decide if it has an effect on you or it doesn't. The ruling, as I said, is that if a music is associated with haram gatherings, it's known to be a music that's either played with haram gatherings, or when they play it, it is to put them in the wrong mood. If it's known as that, even if you think it doesn't have any negative effect on you, you have to avoid it. Even if you're not listening to it in a haram gathering, there was a hadith from Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayh. One of the companions went to the Imam and said, that when I pass by my neighbor, I have a neighbor, if I remember this part of it correctly, I have a neighbor that has, they used to have these slave girls, belly dancers that used to, you know, sing and they used to dance. That's how it was. They had the music going on and then the slaves used to be dancing, belly dancers and all of that. He said, I pass by, I take my time when I'm passing by. I don't want to join their gathering. I don't see the women. All right, I don't see the dancers. I don't look at them or any of that. I just want to hear it. I just enjoy hearing that music. The Imam says, haven't you heard the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, your ears and your eyes and your hearts, all of them are going to be, you're going to be asked and questioned about on the Day of Judgment. Person says, basically, same idea. I'm listening to it. I don't feel anything. Well, one of the reasons for not feeling anything special is because we're so used to it. This brother was saying, he used to listen to music, but then he stopped. He said after a few months of avoiding music, haram music, then when I heard music again, I went back into the same mood and I felt like that's something I want to avoid. That's not something that I want to be around. After you avoid it, similar to haram looks, okay, looking at people, looking at non-mahram, looking at the opposite gender, in ways that have been considered haram in Islam. There's a hadith that says, if you avoid that look, because it's a poisonous, venomous arrow of shaitan in the heart. It poisons the heart and it kills the heart. It says, if you avoid that look for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you this faith that you'll feel the difference. You'll taste it. It's different than just saying that I believe. It's different. Generally speaking, practicing and avoiding sin has that effect. If we avoid the music that we're so used to, then you'll start seeing and feeling the difference. Then when you hear it again, like, I don't want to be around that stuff. So the reason behind it being haram is because it puts you in the wrong mood. It takes us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've been created, our perfection is through getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The proximity of Allah. Enjoying that is something that none of these sins are capable of giving us that much enjoyment. Alright? Now, one of the other effects that we find that has been said to us in a couple or a few hadith about music and listening to music, because playing music and singing in the haram way is obviously a sin as well, but most of us, what we are exposed to is listening to music, listening to haram forms of singing. Recite a salawat, please. This is an effect that is disastrous. The hadith says, from a couple of the imams it's been narrated, similar wording, one of them I will read, استِمَاعُ الْغِنَاءِ وَاللَّهُوَ, listening to haram singing and haram music, يُنْبِتُ النِّفَاقَ فِي الْقَلْبِ كَمَا يُنْبِتُ الْمَاءُ الزَّرْعَ. It, you know, water, it gives an example. Water causes plants to grow. If you have water and you don't have the other means, they're still going to grow to some extent. Just throw a seed, okay, of wheat into water, a cup of water. It's going to start growing, even if you don't have soil. Now, in order for it to become a full-grown wheat crop, then it requires other things as well. But if you put it in water, then it's going to start growing. The Imam says, music, listening to haram music is going to allow nifaq to grow in the heart. It causes the growth of nifaq in the heart the way water causes plants to grow. The seed is already there. The seed of nifaq, the ability to become a munafiq, have hypocrisy, is already there in our hearts. We're capable of becoming hypocrites. What helps us out in that is haram music, it says. Hypocrisy is one of the most dangerous spiritual illnesses, brothers and sisters. It's an illness that causes one not to be honest with themselves. That's the biggest problem of hypocrisy. You can't really straighten yourself out. You can't be one or the other. The brothers just finished reading the verses of the Holy Quran in Surah An-Nifaq. Al-Munafiqeen, or I think, Inna al-Munafiqeen fi al-Dark al-Asfal min al-Nar. They are in the lowest pits of hellfire. Nifaq and hypocrisy was the illness that the companion, the people around the Ahlul Bayt had. They didn't allow the Ahlul Bayt to do anything. It was all because of this hypocrisy. They called Imam Hussein, they went against him. It's a funny thing, I don't know whether you want to, or I would want to laugh at it or cry about it. They said, one of the people that was coming from Kufa, that Imam Hussein saw on his way towards Kufa, which then he had to change course to Karbala. He asked him about the people of Kufa and what's going on in Kufa. He said, their hearts are with you, their swords are against you. How can that happen? That's hypocrisy. You're not with the right people, you're not with their enemies. You're kind of in between. Sometimes you're here, sometimes you're there, depending on the circumstances. Nifaq is the result of listening to music, brothers and sisters. Another effect that we find in our ahadith in regards to music, as we said that there's different levels. Some people are looking for punishment. If you tell some people, oh, this is going to cause you nifaq, it's going to cause hypocrisy to grow in the heart. And hypocrisy is one of those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send you to hellfire. You're going to be going against the imam of your time. Inshallah, when the imam of the time comes, he's going to want real supporters. We call ourselves supporters of the imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring him back to us. But then when he comes, we're going to go against him. You don't want to be that, right? So out of fear, we stop listening to music. That's one level. But we said there's another level that we're going to touch on very briefly, because it's just to open our eyes to more of what's out there. Sometimes we're just thinking at this level of rewards, punishment, reward and punishment, and we forget about what's beyond that. Sometimes when the companions of the Ahlul Bayt ask them about ghina, about listening to music, the response of the Ahlul Bayt was this, that al-ghina majlisun لا ينظر الله إلى أهله. غناء, haram singing, listening to that, is a gathering that whoever's listening to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to be looking at them. Now, for a lot of us, that doesn't even make sense. What does it mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at them? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran wants to talk about some people's punishment in the hereafter, He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't even look at them. Now, one way to interpret that, that some of the people, some of the ulama, some of the ahadith may be even interpreting, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of all people, but when He says that I won't look at a certain group of people, it means He won't look at them with merciful eyes. In other words, His mercy is going to be removed from them. And His mercy being removed is enough for punishment. In other words, they say that the punishment in the hereafter is just the absence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. He doesn't have to do something. If He takes that mercy away, that's enough. You're going to be burning. That's hell itself. The absence of mercy. But another way to interpret this and to understand it is the way Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi explains in Dua al-Kumayn. He says, referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I can take the punishment, the hellfire, the pain in the hereafter, all that's forbearable, I can forbear that. However, I cannot take being away from you. فَكَيْفَ أَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ فِرَاقِكَ. The absence of Allah, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not treat you the same way that the Ahlul Bayt are being treated. For some people, that should be something to avoid. If we work on our spirituality, if we avoid these sins, I think I mentioned this before, when Aitla Bahjat used to say that 2 rak'ahs of prayer, the way a believer would enjoy that, just 2 rak'ahs of prayer of speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of what anyone has fun with in this world is comparable to that joy. We don't feel that. It doesn't exist. At least I'm speaking for myself and whoever's like me. It's not there. We don't feel it. But inshallah, if we try to avoid sin, we'll start feeling that, inshallah. Recite a salawat, please. Another sin, we want to get to other topics, we're trying to just go over some of the sins and try to go over some of the effects that these sins have. One of the greatest sins that we have is the sin of backbiting. Ghibah. Not all of the sins have been mentioned in the verses of the Holy Quran, but some of them have. One of the ones that is mentioned in the Holy Quran is the sin of backbiting and ghibah. It's one of the greatest sins. We have hadith that says, ghibah is ashad min az-zina. It's worse than fornication. Fornication is a great sin. We all know that. Inshallah, hopefully we know that. It says ghibah, backbiting is much worse than that. The verse that talks about it in Surah Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه. It talks about a few sins. One, it talks about not having ill thoughts about believers, not thinking that they've committed sins or done wrong. That's one that it talks about. Another is talking about tajassus, trying to dig up the flaws of others, which we'll talk briefly about. Then it gets to ghibah, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Don't do backbiting. Don't backbite. Don't talk about your brother or sister when they're not around. And then it gives an example. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. Do you like to eat the flesh of your brother when he's dead? Okay, you have a dead corpse of your brother sitting there. Just imagine that. You're all fasting, you feel like eating something, but not something like that. The corpse of your own brother, and you take a knife and you start cutting it up, and put it in your mouth and start chewing on it. Just picture that and see how you feel about that. If it feels good to do that. Your brother, your own brother, that you're close to, you're doing something like that. فَكَرِهْتُمُ You dislike that, you despise that. That's what the verse says. But what does that exactly mean? Let's try to have a better understanding of that. In order to understand this ruling, it's interesting, when you look at that ruling, that this is haram, it comes along with a number of other ones. We just read that. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ First of all, don't have ill thoughts about your brother or your sister. If you see them walking somewhere where it's questionable, they're walking around, there's a club there, right? And you see that person in the parking lot and you don't see any store that's a legitimate one for him to be there. Don't have any ill thoughts about them and say, oh, this guy must have gone to the club. You see them in the wrong area of a department store. Don't have any ill intentions about them. Don't think that they have committed sins. If you see them somewhere where it's questionable in general, don't just say that they have committed that sin. There's a story, it's known as the story of Ifk in the Holy Quran. And one of the battles, when the people were going back, moving towards Medina, the Holy Prophet, whenever he used to travel, he used to take one of his wives with him. And that trip, he had taken his youngest wife, Aisha, with him. And on the way back to Medina, Aisha basically got left behind. She was away from the group, and she hadn't come back. They thought that she was with them. They left. Another of the companions had gotten left behind a little further back. Then when she came back to where they had camped out, the believers were, she saw that they're all gone. She didn't know what to do. This companion that had been left behind earlier, he knew how to get back, so he was on his way back to Medina. And he saw that the wife of the Holy Prophet is there. So what he did was that he came down from his camel. He honored the wife and respected the wife of the Holy Prophet, Aisha. And he put her on the camel. And he would be standing in front of the camel, just pulling the camel in the right direction. When they got to the rest of the believers, then some of the munafiqeen started saying, oh no, oh my God, you know, man and a woman, they've been together alone, nobody else has been around. They must have done something. And they started spreading that story. The verses of the Holy Quran were revealed to the Holy Prophet that said to the believers, that why didn't you think good of one another instead of thinking bad? You didn't have any evidence, you didn't see anything happening. Just saw these two people together and automatically you just said that they've committed sins. This happens in our community centers, brothers and sisters. It's a great sin. اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم. It's a sin. It brings veils on the heart. I've heard many complaints from some of the younger generation, the youth, that say they don't feel like coming to the center anymore because they have some of these. Unfortunately, I don't say, you know, we don't want to accuse everybody, but in their words, we have some of the aunties that are saying things about us, or some of the uncles that are saying things about us. We don't feel comfortable coming back. This is a sin. Another sin that we have here, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُ If somebody tells you, God forbid, something wrong about your brother and sister, which is غِيبَة, and we'll talk about that after this. Or you just have this thought that maybe this person has committed this sin. You want to go investigate and figure out if they've done it or not. It's none of your business. Keep out of it. I'll go check their computer and check their history and see if and their cookies and all of that and try to figure out if they've been on those sites or not. None of your business. Don't do that. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. And then it gets to this then. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. There's a trend here. These are all sins that are related. It starts first. Don't have any ill thoughts about your brothers. Then if you have them, don't go and investigate. Alright? Just allow it to be a thought and try to keep that away from them. Try to say, no, that's not true. And then don't investigate. And then if you do find something that was private, don't tell anybody about it. Alright? All these rulings are related to our social interaction. It is related to our communities, to maintaining that community. In order to understand how ugly this sin is and the reason behind why it is considered haram, and the example that is mentioned in the Holy Quran, that it's like cutting up the body of your own brother when he has passed away and chewing on it and eating it. In order to understand that, we have to understand the importance of being a community. The importance of being together. The verse that talks about that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. That's the beginning part, it's addressing the believers. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Be God-wary, practice taqwa. حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, whatever he deserves of it. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Don't leave this world except that you are believers and you are Muslims. And then it gets to this, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Grab hold of the divine rope, حَبْلِ اللَّهِ, جَمِيعًا, all of you, وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And don't be separated, don't be disunited. Unite based on divine teachings. And then, I was looking for this part of the verse and I realized it's attached to the part where it talks about unity itself. And then it says, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. You used to be enemies. Now it's talking, the context of the verse is talking about the Arabs, all these tribes used to be enemies. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. He brought your hearts together. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Through that blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you became brothers and sisters. Instead of being enemies, you've become brothers and sisters. This is one of the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being a community, being together, saves us. For the older generation, I assure you, if you didn't have this community, the children of yours that are sitting in this crowd would not have been here. We wouldn't have been here. We would be lost in the sea of corruption. Everything in this country, everything around us is pulling us and directing us towards sin. It's very difficult to maintain religion. It's difficult to maintain ideology. Many of those false ideas, corrupt ideas that are being put into our minds, by coming together, discussing these issues, understanding them, we're able to help one another to move towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people that are away from these communities, people that are away from one another, then we're much more vulnerable. Sins, false ideas, that, as I said, they're all over the place. Pluralism, homosexuality, all these things, they're being made so, they make them sound that they're completely okay, where they're completely wrong and ugly and nasty. But they're doing this. Being in a community, we're able to maintain ourselves and our families. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be, and this is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we're able to be with one another. But in order to be with one another, فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ, your hearts need to be together. You need to enjoy being with one another. You need to like being with one another. But the issue is, when we all want to be together as a community, we do have traits, we do have practices that are not pleasant, others do not like. We do things, we have a hadith, that if the veils were removed, and we would know about the character of one another, and what we do in private, we wouldn't stand one another even for 1 second. There's a lot of things each and every one of us knows for ourselves. We have things that we won't like anyone to know about. The dignity that we have in a community is what allows us to be together. If that is removed, then we're not going to be able to stick together. We're not able to be together. We're not going to like one another. If I know certain things about the brother or the sister that I'm talking to, I may not enjoy being in their company. I want to avoid them. And likewise, if they would know what my character is, they would want to avoid me. I don't want to be around this guy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed that, and He has ordered us not to touch that image and not to touch the dignity of one another. Don't remove that. When the verse says that, do you like to eat the flesh of your brother when he's dead? You're cutting up the corpse of that person. It is an example referring to the reality of what backbiting is. You are cutting up and destroying the image, the character of this person amongst others while he's not there. When we're dead, our souls are not in that body. We cannot protect that body. And that's the example that is used. We're destroying the image of one another. It causes divisions. It causes the community not to be able to function together. And all the blessings of being together are removed. That blessing is taken away from Allah, from us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to preserve this. If we understand how great of a blessing it is to be with one another, to enjoy the company of a believer, then we would understand how ugly it is to cause division and to cause us not to enjoy the company of one another, to create those doubts or to create ill thoughts about one another, which would then lead to the community moving away from each other. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the right of the Imam of our time, that He enables us to practice what He has taught us, enable us to avoid and abstain from the sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the coming of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to become His close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of and give good health to all of our maraja, and especially the leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the believers and all people of the oppression that they're facing. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide all the believers with the hajat and the needs and necessities that the believers have, inshaAllah. Bin Nabiya wa alihi rahimallahu man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.